In the 70s, when I was growing up, I remember there were two centers run by the Haitian government. Centre d'accueil de Carrefour, a welcome center of Carrefour for street kids, and orphans free of charge. And Center for Vocational Training and Arts, or Centre des Arts et Métiers, for vagrants, dropouts, to learn a skill or profession. Many parents send their children to this center to take advantage of these programs. Although the programs were free, parents were responsible to cover expenses for room and board. It was a public boarding school, in a sense. As the country made its descent into the abyss that it is in today, these centers and the programs they offered were no longer available. And so to fill the void that has been created by the closing of these centers, more religious missions were opening up. This is how, from 1983 to 2011, three welcome houses in Port-au-Prince and in Jacmel, St. Joseph's Home for Boys, were able to fill their rooms with boys, and these homes were founded and directed by missionary named Michael Gallenfeld. Allegedly, these homes were later found to represent an entryway for sexual exploitation by the religious men who were entrusted to operate them. On the phone with us this evening is Mr. Paul Kendrick. Mr. Kendrick?
Good evening.
Welcome, Mr. Kendrick, to the Haitian Cultural Program Lila Litan here at WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, New York. And thank you for accepting the invitation to speak to us and our listeners on this issue. On December 8, 2011, you published an open letter in response to Mr. Hamlin's message that the Board of Trustees of Hearts with Haiti voted to, and I quote, commission an independent and objective investigation of the allegations against Michael Gallenfeld and the St. Joseph family. And you advised abuse victims not to speak to investigators hired by St. Joseph. Are you a child protection advocate or a lawyer?
No, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a child protection advocate volunteer.
How were the accusations brought to your attention?
I first visited Haiti in 2003 with a medical mission from that works with the hospital in Cap Haitien from my community here in Maine. And I am a graduate of Fairfield University in Connecticut, and I met another graduate of Fairfield University who at that time was the executive director of Project Pierre Toussaint.
Mm-hmm.
And during the next 3 or 4 years, I became aware that he had been accused of sexually abusing the students at that school, and I became involved in with a very courageous journalist in Cap Haitien, Cyrus Siebert.
Mm-hmm.
I became involved in trying to help these boys, to be an advocate for the boys as they started coming forward to tell their stories.
Mm-hmm. Are you aware of any independent investigation or verification of the accusations besides the one reported? For example, doctors, medical, psychiatric, visited the home and look into it?
You're talking now about the St. Joseph's home?
Yes.
Yes. First of all, I've been involved in Cyrus and I received calls from victims and other people in February of 2011 telling us about Gallenfeld. They had seen our names associated with the Project Pierre Toussaint situation.
Mm-hmm.
So as I would do with anybody who came to me and said they were abused and needed help, I would listen. And we began asking questions, and we began asking for an investigation. And at first, the U.S. Board of Directors, Hearts with Haiti, said no. They said, no, we're not going to do anything. We don't believe Mr. Gallenfeld has abused any children. In fact, two of the board members quit.
Mm-hmm.
At that time. My statement to Mr. Hamlin, regarding victims not talking to their private investigators. There is no such thing. There can be no independent investigation by them. Here in the United States, when child abuse is suspected at a school or an institution or an organization, the protocol is that the director or the person charged with these crimes is removed, temporarily suspended, and immediately the local law enforcement authorities are called. That's who should be conducting this investigation, and we are urging the Homeland Security Immigration Custom Enforcement Director, John Morton, in Washington, to participate and get busy helping us protect the kids and do an investigation of Gallenfeld.
You may have read the published list of questions that Robert Brian Davis of Atlanta, Georgia, has asked. Have you?
Yes, and I'm not sure whether where my questions begin and his begin, but yes, I
because
have.
It's so close in viewpoint, practically.
Yes.
So do you have anyone in particular you'd like to address with us, or?
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you mean.
No, is there any one particular question from the list that you would like to?
Well, you know, first of all, Michael Gallenfeld, there's lots of questions about him.
Mm-hmm.
And from the very beginning, because there had been published complaints in Detroit and Boston, and supposedly in the past, U.S. Embassy officials have investigated, and my understanding is that investigations started and then there'd be political unrest and the investigation didn't continue. So here we are in December 2011, and at this point I just don't think this is complicated. I think that all the victims who are ready to be interviewed should be interviewed by Haitian National Police and U.S. investigators.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Gallenfeld needs to be removed from Haiti by the people who pay his salary until an investigation is complete.
So
in Haiti, as you know, Gallenfeld has a big stick.
Mm-hmm.
He has threatened and intimidated victims in the past. And we know here in the United States, at least, how courageous and how much it takes for even a 45-year-old individual to come forward and say, I was abused. And in Haiti, as you know, the intimidation and the threat and the thought of losing the school and perhaps where would I eat tomorrow can be very intimidating to victims of abuse. So we need to get the police in there. And by the police, I mean the Haitian National Police, perhaps the UN police, and most especially, because Homeland Security did such a good job taking care of American citizens, investigating, arresting, and putting him in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least here, we need a professional investigation.
So
it's idiotic. It's idiotic to think that people who aren't trained in forensic interviews, especially of children who are scared and don't understand what's happened to them, that this organization who continues to protect Gallenfeld can do what needs to be done here. They need to step out of the way.
How many victims or accusations?
There's about 14 or 15 victims that I have told Immigration Customs Enforcement are ready to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are in Haiti. Some of them are in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Have you spoke to any of them?
Yes, I have. I wrote about one man who has agreed to go public. He's 38 years old. His name is Emil Million. And we met in the Boston area with one of the board members of Hearts with Haiti, who has since left, and another advocate. And I have talked to two victims. Two men who I believe, were abused by Gallenfeld in the past, who are in the Port-au-Prince area. But see, all these things have to remain These victims need confidentiality. They need to be protected, and that's why they need investigators to get in there. And we're quite frankly frustrated by United States law enforcement who are seeming to be dragging their feet on this.
Well, because of the all the other issues related to the earthquake, you know, people are so focused on getting people out from under the tent and all the other issues of rebuilding the country in order to give a sense of stability and continuity in their lives. Do you think that could be a reason that it's so slow?
No, I don't think so, because Special Agent Rod Katabi of ICE continued his investigation after the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
There were problems because of the collapse of buildings with getting birth certificates, but he made his way through all that.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, he was working with victims in Cap Haitien, but the records, et cetera, were in Port-au-Prince. He worked closely with Haitian National Police, and I just really mean this when I say it. For investigators, this is not complicated. The victims are ready to testify. They are ready to talk.
So they have practically reached out seeking help from the police?
Yes. The Haitian National Police are a great disappointment to an American citizen like me, yes.
Is the home still open?
Yes, it is.
It's still open?
Yeah,
and how many boys are there now?
Well, in talking to people down there who seem to observe the situation, my understanding is there's some chaos going on, that some boys have left, a lot of funding.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't as willing to we've received calls, and all I can say to people is that there are lots of victims who want to talk about their abuse by this man.
Mm-hmm.
And we are supporting them in their pursuit of justice.
Now, what's the relationship between the two cases? The one in Connecticut with the other man who was convicted?
Perlitz?
Yes.
There's no connection other than they're both about child sex abuse.
So the two homes are two different homes on the
yes,
two different...
Correct. In as you said in your introduction, the Hearts with the St. Joseph's homes involve three different homes.
Mm-hmm. So, well, this is something that's really interesting, because right now in this state, you know, and all over the world, this issue of child molestation and all the other abuses that young children experience, now they're coming out and they have the strength to talk about it, because in a country like Haiti, it's difficult for people, as you said earlier, that to come forward because they're afraid of losing the little help that they're getting.
That's why I believe that in Haiti, where there, as you know, there's little law enforcement, there's hardly any child welfare system. There's confusion about if a boy is abused by a man, does that mean it's homosexual act, and that homosexuality is taboo, and
mm-hmm.
and people don't people in Haiti are not aware, they're not educated
mm-hmm.
about child abuse. So we do all we can with our small numbers of people to A, support the victims. And when I was in Cap Haitien in April, and I met with 17 of the boys who were abused by Perlitz, I mean, some of them are saying to me, and it's heartbreaking. They're saying, "I hope God forgives me for what I've done."
Mm-hmm.
They, and I say to them over and over again, "This is not your fault. This is not your fault."
So psychologically, not only the victims felt diminished because of what they have experienced, but also the religiously, because this is somebody who they believe in, who taught them morality, who taught them the Christian way of living, and to turn around and do this to them, so you know, it practically shattered their faith.
You know, I believe, these kids are a little older now, but when they were first abused at 9, 10, 15, 16, I mean, and it becomes their secret. How horrible when we look at a child to think that any child who should be experiencing all the joys and curiosity and everything that goes with being a child to have this toxic secret inside them, like you say, fills them with shame, fills them with guilt. They blame themselves, and in the Cap Haitian case, these kids would be threatened and intimidated if they started to make any noise the next day about the abuse that happened the day before. I mean, just a terrible, horrible. And even when they came out and started saying that they were abused, others began to call them names. Mm-hmm. They would call them Mrs. Doug. So these kids. The courage of these kids, these
young men now,
to come forward is their courage is unlike anything I've seen. And the same with the victims in Port-au-Prince, who are afraid of Michael Gallenfeld.
Some of them, from what I gathered from the reports, also they said that they were threatened by dogs that he had in the compound.
Yes. Our biggest obstacle in this has been U.S. citizens.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. citizens who should know better, who should be better informed, who formed the board of directors of Hearts with Haiti and I forget the name of the foundation. But there's lots of groups around the country that support the St. Joseph's Home.
Yes, because if they can raise over $6 million after the earthquake, so they really had a good base.
Yeah, and there's no accountability for that money. When Michael Gallenfeld first went to Haiti in 1983, he was a member of Mother Teresa's Brothers of Charity, Missionaries of Charity. And, you know, there's a memo we have where he was called back at the end of that year. And the victims say he was called back because other brothers complained about what he was doing with boys in parts of the city.
Where did he come from?
He came from Iowa, USA, and his superior and he agreed that he would take a 1 year leave of absence during 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And the agreement said that during that leave of absence he would not return to Haiti, and they would not let him return to Haiti at the end of the year either.
Mm-hmm.
So he quit, and then he went back and he opened another little. How easy it is for these pedophiles to go into a place like Port-au-Prince, and they rent a house with a couple of bedrooms, and they bring a couple of boys and four or five boys with the promise of food and shelter, and they call themselves an orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as the victims tell us, they were raped by him at this young age. And then he's very charismatic. He's very charming. He's very bright. He continued to gather more funds and continue to build over the years so that this is where he is today.
So in a sense that he was able to win those children's trust.
Yes, he grooms them. He, and again, like you said earlier, in Haiti, a promise of something to eat each day and safe shelter each night and all a little bit of money here and there can not only buy the boy, the victim, it can he's grooming the families at the same time. Look at all I'm doing for you, for your child.
The do-gooders.
And he returns the favor by raping them.
Now, while you were in Haiti, did you try to talk to Gallenfeld?
No, I was up in, I was, when I was back in April, I was there for the sole purpose of speaking and being with the boys, the young men. During the Bush administration, new laws were passed that I know you're aware of that make it illegal for an American citizen to exploit or abuse, sexually abuse children anywhere in the world, not just here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should be grateful to the U.S. Justice Department for all the work they did in the Perlitz case. It's very complicated, as you know, working between two countries.
Yes.
They investigated him. They brought the information to a grand jury. He was arrested and convicted in our federal system.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Mr. Mitchell Garrett Bedian, attorney in Boston, is representing 22 of the victims.
So you didn't go to the home in Petionville?
No, I've never been down there.
You've never been. So, from your perspective, when you interviewed the victims, the boys that you met,
yes,
there, what do you think of their mental state?
Well, I think anybody who is sexually abused as a child, that this is my own experience, the injuries are both seen and unseen. And that when we spoke with Emil in Boston, I could see it that as he talked, what happened to him may have happened 25 years ago, but it was as if it happened this morning. And all the different things that can transpire in a child sex abuse. I mean, I'm not going to draw a direct line of every sad event that happens in a person's life to their sex abuse,
mm-hmm,
but typically, you know, the depression, the fears, the sexual dysfunction, the feelings of self-loathing that are all part of that. One of the former board members is still talking to his parishioners. We're trying to at least provide some money so that Emil can at least engage in some counseling to help him out.
In the published message, the executive director of Hearts with Haiti said, "Hearts with Haiti remains supportive of Michael and of the St. Joseph's family, and believes strongly that the St. Joseph family homes are safe and positive places for children." How do you respond to this reassurance?
First of all, how on one hand do you say we support, let's use the legal jargon, we support an alleged child abuser. We're going to do an investigation, but don't worry, everybody, kids are safe until we do this investigation. It's absurd thinking. Again, that board should have removed him already from all duties, temporarily suspended him,
Yeah. Just
like we would do here.
Yeah.
And they should be in Washington, D.C., sitting on the doorstep of the Immigration Customs Enforcement people, saying, "We need you to do this investigation. We need we need professional law enforcement to get in there." But they're not doing that.
Is it a matter of resources that make it difficult for them to do, because it would be expensive, or they don't have the means to do something like that?
There may be all kinds of reasons. But as I said to Mr. Morton, I said, the director of ICE, I said, you know, we are speaking with victims. And I said, "Mr. Morton, I'm sure you would be as agonized as I am by these conversations. But in a real sense, I'm calling 911.
Well, in Haiti, they don't have 911.
No, but I'm using that example to Mr. Morton here. Just as if I were, you know, I understand that. I'm dialing 911, Mr. Morton. I'm an American citizen. I've got people in Haiti and the U.S. telling me that there's a dangerous child molester, and you're not doing anything about it."
Well,
we'll see what happens in the next few weeks.
Okay, and that Mr. Davis, I wanted to know from Mr. Davis's questions. I'm going to ask you that question yourself. What can he said naive Americans do to facilitate stopping sexual abuse as is alleged against Mr. Gallenfeld?
Well, I think one thing we've all learned from the and the Penn State situation has raised people's consciences even further than the whole Catholic Church sex abuse did. And I think one of the things we now know is that none of us can ever be bystanders again.
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean if we have information about or we suspect child sex abuse, we've got to do something about it. And I quite frankly have been hoping that I could gather support from the Haitian communities in your area. Now that I'm speaking here, I've been starting to reach out into the Boston area and the New York, Brooklyn area. that Haitian Americans. I have to tell you, I don't know quite how to get their support, but their voice is needed to help the children back in Haiti.
Yes. Well, what happened is any way that you can get the message out, because many of the people don't have access to the internet, or if
yes.
they do, they don't go as often
yes.
on the internet to read the large amount of articles or publications
yes.
on this case.
Yes.
But are you working with anyone who can practically bring the case forward legally?
Well, there's two parts to this. Obviously, we want law enforcement, but we are urging victims to contact Attorney Mitchell Garabedian in Boston. And what Mr. Garabedian will do is, like he did in the Cap Haitian case, he will begin interviewing, speaking with victims of Gallantfeld, those who say they were abused. And if down the road a criminal case has still not been brought, then Mr. Garabedian will bring a civil lawsuit against in the U.S. federal court against Mr. Gallantfeld. That is the plan of action at this point.
So what do you think that you will need to make it the case? Does he have enough evidence to pursue? Or
well,
we still have to wait until the investigation.
When you have 15 different individuals who don't know each other saying, you know, they were sexually abused, that will be the case.
Have you gotten any response from Hearts in Haiti or any other officials?
No, I mean, I mentioned earlier, months ago, I received a letter from Mr. Hamrick. In no uncertain terms telling me that they support Mr. Gallantfeld, that they do not believe the accusations, and now they've changed their tune. I think that the pressure that we've been putting on people who have supported financially this group is starting to cause them to take the action. They are not doing this on their own. They are doing it because people are stopping. The donations are starting to go down.
Well, somebody is asking us or requesting that they take action to find out or to clear the name of this man, or otherwise they won't receive anything. Maybe that's...
Well, wouldn't you think they would have done that back when we first started asking questions? But they've been a very difficult group of people to deal with regarding, you know, I said to them one time, in the very beginning, I said, just how many allegations of child sex abuse has Mr. Gallantfeld had, you know, brought against him during his lifetime? And they won't answer the question. And then I say to them, you know, I'm confused. You have a guy running an organization. He's responsible for child safety. And where else in the world would a director be hired who has a number of child sex abuse allegations already brought against him? If somebody came in to the director of an orphanage here in the United States, and they said, and the director said, you know, we're thinking about hiring you, and the man said, listen, there's something I need to tell you. I've had five people tell me, say that I abused them as children, but I was cleared in every case. Don't worry about me. Nobody wouldn't hire somebody. What in the Lord's name are we talking about here? And this is about children. Children have rights. Children are to be protected from healthy people.
Mm-hmm.
And this fiasco with Gallantfeld has just gone on too long, and it will be stopped.
Now, you know, from reported articles and other issues related to sexual abuse in the church,
yes.
Do you think that that's normal, or that's a way of dealing with accusations like that in the Catholic community when something like that came public?
Well, I've been at this 10 years, and I've stood in front of many, many Catholic churches with a simple sign saying, please support those who were abused. And we've been spit at, we've been elbowed in the chest, we've been yelled at. Now, you tell me, what kind, as Martin Luther King Jr. said, who is your God? What kind of people are you who worship here, who so quickly would reject and ostracize someone who has the courage to come forward and say they were abused? Yes, we want due process, of course.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have due process, the whole thing falls apart. But to immediately reject, as the Catholics have done now these 10 years, I don't have an explanation for it yet, except mm-hmm. I say to them, who are you?
Well, we tried to reach Mr. Gardenfeld or someone from St. Joseph's in Hearts with Haiti to come on the program. I received an email from Mr. Jeffrey Hemlin, the executive director of Hearts with Haiti, responded by thanking us for and appreciate the invitation, but had respectfully declined. So if anyone else decided to join us and to bring their side of the issue, or they want to have to share with us their side of the story, we are open and we are available at WGXC 90.7 FM and also online at www.wgxc.org, or they can call the station directly at 518-828-0290 or 697-7400. And this is Lilelita, the Haitian Cultural Program in upstate New York, the voice of Haiti in the Hudson Valley region. Thank you, Mr. Hemlin. Mr. Hedrick, I'm thinking about him. I hope that he comes to join me.
You know, I'm wondering, is there is there a way I could get a copy of the show when you do it?
Well, I will send you an email, and then he will be on our archives, so you can
you
also.
Don't mind if we distribute that, do you?
Of course. When I'm hoping that I can broadcast this interview this Sunday.
Okay.
And if everything works out according to my schedule, then I will send you an email with the event when it's broadcast, and then you can have it.
Where are you from in Haiti?
I was born in Port-au-Prince.
Oh, you were?
Yes, but my mother is from Léogâne.
Okay.
And I have relatives all over the country now because, you know, people don't stay in one place in Haiti these days.
I was in Haiti at the time of the earthquake, but I was at Camp Haitian.
Wow. My older daughter was in Haiti at the time of the earthquake. Just after she called and left a message for me, the earthquake hit.
Ah,
she was in Tabar.
You must have been scared to death.
Oh, God. That was a nightmare. But anyway, if you check our website, you can read more about it. It's also, we have a Haitian non-profit organization representing in this area, upstate New York. It's H for Harry, C for Colleen, P for Paul.
Oh, HCP. Okay.
HCD, D for David and P, and INC.org.
Okay.
And you can read more about our efforts in this area.
Oh, thank you.
To
so
be
much
the voice of Haiti in the Hudson Valley. This is the Hudson River Valley.
Well, you
as
know,
a matter
I
fact.
Spent some time in Kingston, New York.
Kingston? Wow. Yes. Are you familiar with Hudson?
Yes.
Well, that's where
that's
we are.
That's where you are, Hudson.
Yes,
yeah,
Hudson,
yeah.
New York.
Yeah, yeah. I thought so.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for all you're doing. I appreciate it.
And I appreciate your joining us. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.